Ichadvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. O skin of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded in separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, "This is my wife. This is my house. I am the master of this house. I am the husband of this wife." These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Should we have translation, or do most? You will do? Hare Krishna. O skin of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. We are reading this evening from the 7th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing the predicament of all the living entities within the illusion of material consciousness. The constitutional nature of all living beings is to serve the Supreme. We are eternally subordinate to the will of the Supreme. In the material existence, the three modes of material nature, which are being conducted and activated by the power of time, keeps everyone in a subordinate position. We were discussing just a few minutes ago about great conquerors within this world. The most powerful men in our modern history, who conquered entire nations, who appeared undefeatable. But somehow or other, the delusion of Maya conquered them all. we were discussing in Germany during World War II. The power of Hitler was so great. He had the world on their knees. He conquered most of Europe. He conquered Britain. They were completely defeated. The chief of the country of Britain said, after 2 days, we would have forcibly had to surrender. The United States of America were no match for Germany. There was no power on earth that could stop them. But right in the middle of all this, he took over half of his armies and decided to march into Russia. Why? There was no sense to it. Nothing could conquer him. Why divide his army in half? He would have conquered the world, there was no question. And after dividing his army in half, Napoleon made the same mistake. He marched into Russia, and then the winters came, and the snow came, and the ice came, and his soldiers were frozen, and his tanks were stuck in the snow, and then they were easily defeated. Why he made such a mistake? He was covered by the power of delusion. His imperfect senses. He made a great mistake. And he was totally embarrassed, annihilated, and his whole country was destroyed. So in this world, everyone is trying to be the controller, either on a big level or on a small level. Everyone is trying to claim proprietorship. He wanted to be the husband, the master, the controller of the planet Earth. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be the conqueror of the universe. Most every husband in material consciousness wants to be the master of the household. I am the controller. What I say is the absolute. And in Kali Yuga, the wife is always a competitor, fighting for this position, directly or indirectly. And amongst the children, the eldest son wants to be the controller of the children. And I will beat you if you do not do what I say. Everyone has this disposition, being the controller, being the enjoyer. But somehow or other, through the powers of time and material nature, everyone is defeated. Everyone is put into delusion, without exception. Therefore, Krishna is explaining that these dualities, which arise from desire and hate, if we can overcome them, then we are victorious. Conquering the world, being the controller of material energy, is a great illusion. But if we can somehow or other conquer our own egoistic propensities, if we can conquer our own desires to want to be the controller, to want to be the Lord, to want to be the enjoyer, and we can conquer our own hatred or aversion to those things that do not make us happy. In this world, we are longing for those things that give us pleasure. And we are very, very averse to those things that interfere with our pleasure. If we can conquer these two propensities, then we are victorious. That is a Goswami, a real hero. A Goswami is one who isn't concerned with what the mind and senses want and not concerned with what the mind and senses do not want. A Goswami is one who is only concerned with what Krishna wants and acts for Krishna's service and for Krishna's satisfaction. And one who lives by that principle, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Uchate, that person is protected on all sides at all times forever by Krishna himself. Sarvadharman Puritya Jamam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha isyami masacha. Abandon all these desires for what we think will make us happy in this world. And just surrender to Krishna. He shall protect us. And we will be free from fear forever. So this is the actual secret of real victory. A devotee who conquers this instinct of desire and hate conquers the universe. Not only that, conquers the entire material nature. Why? Because such a person puts himself with great humility at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna says, I am controlling material nature. If we take shelter of Krishna, no power of material nature can overcome us. But if we try to overcome material nature on our own, we will be defeated. We will be embarrassed. We are nothing compared to Alexander and Hitler and others, and Hiranyakashipu. They were defeated. What is our position trying to be the master of anything in this world? We will be defeated. We will be frustrated. But if we just humble ourselves before God, I am your servant. Shri Krishna Sharanam. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. I surrender to you. Krishna promises he always protects his devotee. Kaunteya pratijanihina me bhakta pranashyati. Those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda are always protected. They are always victorious by the grace of the supreme power of God. This is the essence of the message of Bhagavad Gita. There are so many obstacles on the path of self-realization. And to think that we can overcome them by our own power is the great illusion. And that's how Maya defeats us, by inflating our false egos to think that we can do it. But if we humble ourselves and take shelter of the name of God, the devotees of God, and call out His holy name, seeking His name for the power and the strength, then we will be victorious. Today, we have heard that in Calcutta, Mother Teresa has left her body. She was a very saintly lady. I personally met with her, and I remember what she was saying. Somebody, while we were talking, someone said, Mother, you are doing so many wonderful things. And she just cut them off. She said, I am doing nothing. It is all God's work. I am just trying to be His instrument. And then someone else asked, where do you get the determination and the courage to do what you're doing? And she took out her beads, her Christian japa beads. It's called a rosary. And she said, whatever power is not from me, it is all coming from the chanting of the holy name of God. So we honor such a personality who had this humility, taking shelter of the strength of the holy name of God, which can help us to overcome all obstacles. So let us not think that by our intelligence, by our influence, by our wealth, by our expertise, we can overcome the obstacles of desire and hate. But it is only by the grace of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Today, all over the world, and especially in the great state of Maharashtra. They are celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi, the day when everyone is worshipping Lord Ganapati. And according to the Shastra, Lord Ganapati is a designated, empowered servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose post is to remove obstacles for those who are devoted and to create obstacles for those who are not. And there's many stories about Lord Ganapati. He was one of the two sons of Lord Shiva and Parvati. And how dedicated of a servant he was. In the Padma Purana, it describes the story of how one time Parvati was going to take her bath in a secluded place, and she told Ganapati, who was the, Gana means assistants, he was deputed to be in charge of all the assistants and the attendants. So she said, "Do not let anyone come in until I tell you," because she was a very chaste lady. So he took his mother's word very, very seriously. So then Lord Shiva came to come in. And Lord Ganesh said, "You are not allowed to come in." "Wow, what you're saying? I am not allowed to come in." "No, no. It is my order to not let anyone in." So Lord Shiva, out of his transcendental, inconceivable nature, he cut off his son's head. Hare Krishna. But this is all his pastime. So after he cut off his son's head, Parvati explained, "Actually, I told him to do like this." He said, "Oh, all right." So then he found an elephant and took the head of elephant and put it on his son. And then he became with an elephant head. And therefore he is always seen with a beautiful head of an elephant. And one time Lord Shiva was sleeping, and he said, "Do not allow anyone to disturb me." And Parasaram came to meet Shiva. And such a loyal servant, he said, "No one will disturb my father." And he said, "You see if I don't disturb your father." So they started to fight. And Ganapati was fighting Parasaram. And during the fight, his tusk was broken. So we always find in these beautiful murtis, Ganesh has an elephant's head with a broken tusk. And these are signs of his complete surrender and loyalty, willing to risk anything and everything to carry out his service. He's a very, very great messenger. And the Shastras explain how Ganapati, his special feature is to remove all obstacles. And in his own life, he showed us how we can remove all obstacles. It came time for he and Kartikeya to get married. So Shiva and Parvati were thinking, "Who should we marry first?" And they decided they should both have a race around the world. And whoever comes back first, they will give their special mercy. So Kartikeya is a very slender person, very strong. He carries spears and he rides on very fast-flying peacocks. And Ganesh doesn't look like such a speedy person. He's a very powerful person. But
He has big belly, which represents the universe. And anyways, Kartikeya immediately, he just started flying around the world. And Ganesh just kind of waited for some time and thought. And then it is said he drew in the ground the name Rama. And then he circumambulated. And along with the name of Rama was Shiva and Parvati. He circumambulated all. Just once around. And Lord Shiva said, "What are you doing?" He said, "The whole universe, the whole existence is within the name of Ram. So by circumambulating the name of Ram, I have circumambulated the whole world." And they understood, yes, what you are saying is correct. So they formally announced that Ganesh has won the race. We can overcome all obstacles by just taking shelter of the name of the Lord. And Lord Ganapati, he could remove all obstacles because he is always taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, even in Vrindavan, where there are so many thousands and thousands of temples, it is very customary that above the entrance of the temple is a beautiful little murti of Ganapati. Because the Vaishnavas, they worship with the mantra, Om Ganesh Pate Namaha. They offer their obeisances to Lord Ganesh. And in doing so, they ask him to remove all their obstacles in their service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And what are those obstacles? The primary obstacles are desire and hate. Our desires to be the controller and the enjoyer, and our aversion to those things which disturb our ability to be the controller and the enjoyer. Attraction and aversion. Nasochiti nakangshati. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that these very, very exalted personalities who are, sometimes they are angsas of his own plenary expansions, sometimes they are very, very empowered spiritual beings, they are getting their powers from the Supreme Absolute Truth, from Krishna. And therefore, if we learn to worship them for that purpose of helping us in the path of pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Godhead, to Krishna, then that is very, very valuable. I remember one time one of my godbrothers, two of my godbrothers, Guru Kripa Swami and Yashodananda Swami, they were asked to go to Japan to collect funds to build a temple in Vrindavan and to build a temple in Mayapur. And they were the chief people who were assigned to collect funds. And Japan is a very hard place for sannyasis to collect funds. So they read how people, when they want to make lots of money, they worship Ganesh in India because Ganesh removes obstacles for making money. So they asked Prabhupada if they could worship Ganesh. Arivo. And they even bought a beautiful, I think it was a golden deity of Ganesh. They thought if he was golden, then he would give more money. So Prabhupada said, there is no need, because ultimately Krishna is giving all power to Ganesh and everyone. He said, but if you worship Ganesh for the purpose of removing obstacles for your service to Krishna, he said, then it is all right. So they began to do Ganesh Puja, as well as Krishna Puja. They were doing the Mangalarti and everything, but they would chant some mantra. And their prayer was, O Ganapati, O most powerful servant of the Lord, as the servant of the servant of your servants, please remove these obstacles in our service to our spiritual master and Lord Sri Krishna. And ultimately, the temple in Vrindavan and Mayapur was built. Ganapati Maharaj ki!
Jai!
Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki!
Jai!
So we should understand that to worship the demigods, as Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of the Gita, for material purposes is less intelligent. Today people are worshipping the various devatas because they want so many material benefits. They want a good house, they want a good wife, they want a better job, they want a good salary, they want to pass their exams, they want good health, they want a nice car, they want a nice carpet for their home, they want nice utensils, they want their hair that's falling out to grow back. So many things. They want their mother-in-law to move to another place. They want their brother to submit to them. They want the rats to die. So many things. They want the cockroaches to go away. How many things can we... How many problems are there in this material world? Old people, they want renewed power to have sex. Young people, they want the power. Great politicians want to win the elections. Everyone has their material desires, and the demigods are the order suppliers. And in different places, they choose different demigods for this purpose. In Maharashtra, Ganesha is very popular as the order supplier for people's material ambitions. But Krishna says this is less intelligent. The demigods are not pleased. The devatas are not pleased to give you material benedictions because they know it will only make you miserable in the end. They are all temporary. Everything having to do with this body, everything having to do with this false ego is temporary. It's a source of misery. If you get something, then you get attached to it, then you lose it, inevitably. So our worship should always be aimed at the ultimate goal of life. And the ultimate goal of life is pure bhakti, self-realization. Krishna, he is the ultimate source of everything that exists. It is he that gives power to all of the devatas simply by chanting his name and having faith that by serving Krishna, all things will be attained. Or if we want to take the blessings and the help of his very, very dear and empowered servants, the devatas, it should be for the purpose of liberating us from this world, not further entangling us in this world. Asking for material benefits means asking for a headache. We're asking the gods, put a big piece of stone on my head. I'll carry it for some time, then it will crush me. That's all. Material benedictions are like stones on our head. Why should we ask for those things that implicate us, complicate us, and incriminate us in the sources of misery? We should be begging the Lord and begging his servants, please free me from all these material attachments. And make my mind attached exclusively to the service of the Lord, which is the ultimate liberation. And in this way, if we understand the great Lord Ganapati in this spirit and in this mood, then he will give us the ultimate blessing. He will remove the obstacles of our material desires so that we can serve the Supreme with unmotivated concentration and devotion. That is a far greater proposal than asking him to put more obstacles on our spiritual path by giving us more material desires and facilities to satisfy those material desires. So this is how the great acharyas have taught us. And great devotees like Rupa Goswami, they put Ganesh on the top of their temples. Om Ganesh Pataye Namaha. Please remove the obstacles that are coming before me in my unmotivated service to the Supreme Personality of God. Let me chant without offenses the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much.
Desires. But many times we feel that when we attain some programs organized by temples or Sunday programs, so the enthusiasm which we get from it, so because of that enthusiasm, till some period of time we are able to control our desires. And sometimes very well we are able to control. So we feel that somehow or other we are controlling our desires. So what is the actual measure to note that have we actually conquered these internal tendencies, or it is just a maya? Like many times we feel that we have conquered.
We can never conquer. It is, if we think we can conquer, that is another method in which illusory energy or maya conquers us. If we become completely humble and take shelter of Krishna, then by the power of Krishna, he will conquer all obstacles in the spiritual path. We cannot conquer. Therefore, devotees, take shelter of the holy name. Take shelter of the path of bhakti. And that attracts the power of Krishna. That power will give us the strength to overcome all. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna simply humbled himself to the will of Krishna. And he had the power of the mercy of Krishna to defeat all the great, great, insurmountable obstacles of the Kuru dynasty. And at the end of the battle, Krishna told Arjuna that you should get off the chariot. So Arjuna got off the chariot first. And then when Krishna got off the chariot, immediately the whole chariot turned into powder. It disintegrated. And Arjuna looked and asked, what happened? He said, with all the weapons that were coming and hitting the chariot, this is what was meant to happen. But because of me being on it, it was sustained. What to speak of what would happen to Arjuna? Same destiny as the chariot. But because of Krishna's power and protection, he wanted to show Arjuna that was the power that made you victorious, not your own. And later on, Arjuna was attacked by some common people who were not even Kshatriyas. And he was defeated.
because Krishna did not give him the strength to fight. So this is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the strength of the strong. Krishna is the intelligent of the intelligent. Krishna is the source of real victory. Man-manabhava-mad-bhakta-umad-yajim-nam-namaskuru. Therefore, we should always think of Krishna. Become his devotee, worship him, and offer homage to him. Yes?
Maharaj, in the lecture, we understood that one should not be averse to material things, nor one should be attached. So, when we are doing the process of Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which we get averse to. They may be impediments on the path of devotional service, and we get so much averse to them that sometimes if they happen, our minds get agitated. So, even for such thing, we should not be averse, or what should be our approach?
We should be attached to those things that are favorable to our spiritual advancement, and we should be very cautiously averse to those things that are unfavorable to our spiritual progress. That is necessary.
How can one decide that? Cautiously averse means...
You do not have to decide. Krishna, through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, have already decided. All you have to do is hear nicely and learn and apply that to our life. Service to the Lord through the chanting of His holy name, through hearing His glories, through associating with His devotees, through worship His deity, through doing the seva under the instruction of Guru and Vaishnavas. These things are very, very favorable for our devotional service. Therefore, we should be completely attached to these things. And illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat-eating, unnecessary talk, sense enjoyment, false ego, these things destroy our spiritual life, so we should be very averse to them.
And in certain circumstances, if your job, if your occupation is coming in between your service to Krishna, at that time what should be your attitude?
If your occupation is coming as an obstacle to your service of Krishna?
Yeah.
You should use your good intelligence to try to adjust things nicely. But not going to one yatra is not the end of your spiritual life. If it can be arranged, you should do it. If it cannot be arranged, you can chant the Panchatattva mantra every day, extra times before you go to work, and chant Hare Krishna. Our occupation is not an obstacle to our spiritual progress if we understand the art of how to work in a spirit of devotion. In fact, for a grihastha, it becomes a great asset to our service of the Lord if it is helping us to maintain a Krishna conscious household life. But devotees are responsible. The devotees should not be irresponsible in any aspect of their life. But still, if you can somehow or other use your good intelligence and the guidance of others, you should try to figure out the ways and means to come to Mayapur. If you can do that, you will be very happy. If not, you can make great spiritual advancement
suffering and separation from Mayapur while
while doing your job.
Either way, you will become purified. One more question, this gentleman.
Marabu just mentioned of Mother Teresa, and she was a great devotee of God, and she used to chant on rosemary beads. So would she get the same benefit as Vaishnavas? As she had lot dependence, she depended more on God and her utter devotion to her God. So will she get the same benefit as Vaishnavas? What will happen to her after soul leaves the body?
These things you will never understand. Why should we compare ourselves? We have our devotion and we are fixed. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is something very sublime. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by chanting the holy names of Sri Radha and Krishna, we can achieve the topmost spiritual planet of Vaikuntha and enter into the divine Leela of Krishna, which is considered in the scriptures to be the ultimate realization of Godhead. So we are perfectly content chanting Hare Krishna. We have no second thoughts. However, someone who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracting to another faith and who is exercising such a profound and exalted state of sacrifice and surrender and devotion, we should honor them and bow down to them. They are a great person. She is a great personality. The name of Krishna may be the highest and purest and most inclusive of all names of God. But she's also chanting name of God. And what sacrifice and faith she is chanting, we can be inspired by that. And what a spirit of seva she has in her life, that we can be inspired by. Exactly where she goes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly take her where she can best perform service, according to her inner heart's desire. That we know for sure. Does that answer your question? Is there one more question?
Maharaj, you spoke about how we should not be attached to material desires. Now, if someone is in abject poverty, someone is really poor, then in that state, he may not be able to appreciate God or what the message of God. So in that state, a really poor person, if he prays for some material benefit, and that brings him to a more amenable kind of situation, is that favorable? Is that good? Because when he's really poor, he may not ever listen to the message of God because he's living hand to mouth.
If you pray for material things, that is certainly much better than not praying at all. But it will not relieve you of suffering. So what Bhagavad Gita is teaching is how to be relieved from suffering, ultimately. How to find real happiness. So Krishna says in Gita, we should not disturb the faith of those who are worshipping for material things. But we should try to elevate them to a higher form of faith. If somebody's worshipping the Lord or a demigod for something material, we should not discourage that. Because that's better than not worshipping the Lord at all. But we should try to elevate them to the higher principle. if I need, if I'm starving. My Lord, if it is your desire to give me food so that I have strength to serve you. That is a nice prayer. So the servants of Lord Chaitanya and the servants of Krishna, their service to society is in every way to try to encourage people and elevate people to higher and higher realms of devotion. From whatever stage one is at, we should never discourage anyone of any religion who is approaching God in any way, if it is for some betterment in their life, whether it's material, emotional, or spiritual. But we should explain to them, this is not very intelligent. There's something more. There is the spiritual world. There is the eternal soul. What are the needs of your soul? When you approach a millionaire, you don't ask for one paisa. Krishna can give you liberation in the spiritual world forever. And we're asking for a few rupees and a couple japatis. That is not so intelligent. Thank you very much.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry. Address is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.